Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eileen Gaffin, your host for Reputation and Influence. And our topic today, I think you're going to love this one, is reputation in film, what it takes to build influence in the entertainment industry. And our very special guest, our leading lady, is Meredee Book, the executive director of the Coronado Island Film Festival. And welcome, Meredee.
Thank you, Eileen. I'm excited to be the leading lady today.
Yeah, I think that title is appropriate for the film industry.
It is.
Well, I think you have the coolest job. And before we get to what you're doing today, I think our listeners are going to want to know more about how you got to where you are today. And I think we can learn more about your career journey and what got you here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to be on the show, as I said, and I love what you're doing with this show and really shining the spotlight on women out there in the world, kind of following their own journey and making a niche where they're best suited and making an impact and a meaningful impact in the world today. So in terms of my own journey within the film festival realm, a lot of people do ask, you know, how do you get started in that? And for me, film has been a lifelong love. Ever since I was little, I've just loved film and the movies, going to the movies, the experience of sitting in the movie theater and watching the trailers. I'm one of those people that love to watch the trailers and just the whole experience. And so that was something that I always thought would be exciting, but I didn't know if it was necessarily attainable. And I went to college and I was a communications major in college with an emphasis in marketing. And so I always gravitated towards some form of media. And eventually later on, I had started my own company. We lived up in San Francisco for a while and started a diversified media company. And that eventually rolled into producing a half-hour television program that we filmed out of Atlanta. And it was an inspirational show. And very similar to what you're doing with your show is really bringing on people who are, you know, possibly artists, authors, filmmakers, producers, entrepreneurs, and really learning their stories. And it was a natural segue into sort of the film festival platform, because what we do at the film festival is literally provide an avenue for filmmakers to tell their stories. It's cinematic storytelling. And so everything sort of culminated into this position that I've kind of done along the way. So it's pretty exciting to be where I am right now.
Yeah, and what does it mean? That's really interesting. What does it mean to have a diversified media company?
So that is a very simple way of saying that we tried a lot of things and failed at a lot of things. We started off in the publishing realm. So we had an imprint publishing company and a recording company. And then that eventually, we worked with a lot of independent authors and musicians, and it was very exciting. It was also very expensive, and we really learned, you know, all aspects of the various industries in terms of distribution and the whole back end and publicity and marketing and really what it takes. Somebody might be a great writer, but they may not be a really you know, great promoter in and of themselves and know how to get their message out there. And same with musicians. They're great if they're in a studio and singing, but you get them in front of a camera and they have no idea what they're saying. So it was just a lot of really interesting way that we sort of approached the business. And it was a huge learning curve and a very exciting one. But it really, for me, it was something that was very personal. Like I said, I love to hear people's stories. And it was a way to just get to know different people from different walks of life. And just to be surrounded by so much creative talent was just energizing and exciting. So our diversified media, again, started as sort of a small publishing imprint to recording, and then it grew, and we eventually started producing. It was a little TV show, and it started, actually, we launched it online back in the days when nobody really had anything launching online. So we were very excited to be sort of a forerunner with that, using that medium to get our show launched. And it eventually rolled over into working with, you know, kind of we flip-flopped. Well, we were kind of on the front end, then all of a sudden we were on the back end of the industry and really working with publicity. And I was working with a lot of publicity agents and that talent. So it gave me such a broad spectrum from start to finish of how to work in all these different industries to know enough. But like I said, that's a lot of trial and error when you have your own startup and you move forward and, you know, you make mistakes. Some of them lead to incredible successes and other ones, you know, you file away as I will never do that again. So
yeah,
it's been exciting.
That's how we learn and grow, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, to be in this position now, it's, you know, and there is truth to hindsight being 2020. And I think that's how women can then really turn around and build their expertise and find their voice and, you know, can look back and say, you know, can and push that information forward to somebody else who might be just in a startup situation or launching their career or headed on the same path. You know, and to be able to kind of speak wisdom, firsthand wisdom into their life is something that I actually really enjoy doing, and consulting with other women in business and, you know, seeing what projects they're working on.
Mm-hmm. Let's explore that a little deeper, because you were not only building influence in your own reputation, but you're doing it for other companies and other artists. What are some things you've learned along the way that have helped you with, you know, in getting your name out there and your reputation known, and how have you helped others, you know, to do the same?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you're working with a filmmaker or you're working in a position where you're, you know, promoting their story, it really becomes all about them. So you build your reputation, number one, based on, you know, the types of projects that you choose to give priority to. So if you're working with, you know, a filmmaker that, you know, they or somebody whose story has been made into a film, we for our upcoming film festival, you know, we have some incredible stories. And I know we can talk about that kind of later in the show. But you know, in building the reputation, I think it really says a lot about who you are by what stories, like I said, you're giving priority to. And I have found that to build the reputation of others, sometimes it's to stand back and let them shine. It's learning how to let them shine and letting their stories come through, and not so much making it about me and my agenda or how I want something to turn out. Some of the best people that I've worked with have surprised me. You know, if I'm interviewing someone or if I'm, you know, promoting a project and I find out something so new, it kind of catches me by surprise that I think, oh, if I would have pushed what I wanted or how I saw something that needed to be told or the way I wanted it to, you know, the angle for something to be promoted, I would have missed a lot of opportunities than just sitting back and listening to what makes this person unique and what is the character of this person, and, you know, just giving a lot more credence to what they need to, the message they need to tell, not so much my message, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And I also think that what you're describing are so many leadership attributes, you know, of really listening, you know, whether you're a manager of people or whether you're in the industry that you're in, you know, it's really listening. And mm-hmm. I love what you said about letting them shine, you know, that it's not just your agenda or your idea, and it's letting that bubble up, that creativity. And that's really cool. And very open, you know, open leadership. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to get more into the film festival piece of it. How did you make that transition from your work with the creative community and your, you know, early foresight to be an online, you know, have an online show and all that? How did you make the leap then, or transition to the film festival?
Well, how long is this show? It was, it's, you know, it's, life interrupts us, right? So on our career journey, there were moments where I stepped back and I stepped into really taking more of a greater position back into my kids' life. And I started volunteering, and I've always been a big advocate for arts organizations and culture. And my daughter was a dancer. She was a ballerina growing up, and my son was very active in sports. And, you know, that always put us kind of on the forefront of being active in their lives. And one of the organizations that I sat on the board for many years was the Coronado School of the Arts. And out of that came a connection to the film festival. And I, you know, started working actually with two film festivals. So the San Diego International Film Festival, I became involved with, and I was brought on as the vice president of development. And that was a fundraising role. And that really meshed very well, because at the time I was involved with a lot of arts organizations on a philanthropic level. And so I was very excited to get back into sort of the entertainment silo and really work on that, and my passion for fundraising, and seeing that the arts play a, you know, a pivotal role, especially for our next generation. So it was wonderful. And I did that for 3.5 years. And then I started to kind of hit that burnout point on the fundraising end. And having done that for many years, it kind of has an expiration date on it when you're constantly, you know, mm-hmm. as you can be, you're, you know, positioning it where you're always asking someone for funds and to fund that. And I wanted to do something more, and really felt like there was, it was using about 10% of the creativity and really the full passion that I had to really utilize film as a way to impact people. So I stepped down from that position, and there were some projects I was working on, and on my own, an independent project. And I was approached by the Coronado Island Film Festival. And it was quite by surprise. And I wasn't sure if it was something I wanted to step into. And if anyone knows the founder of the Coronado Island Film Festival, her name is Doug St. Dennis. And I just adore her. And the woman is just a powerhouse. She has just a phenomenal history, and she can pretty much convince anyone to do anything. And after several meetings with her, I was just so enthused by her passion for this film festival and the heart and soul. And it was almost became really an honor to step into this position and really sort of take over much of her role as she's kind of stepping into more of a foundational role and stepping out of the day to day. And all of a sudden I found myself as the executive director, and that was back in April, and it has been a whirlwind ever since. So
yeah, I think your festival's coming up soon, right?
Yes. So November 8th through the 11th, our festival falls over the Veterans Day holiday, and for good reason. It is an incredible weekend that definitely reflects the military presence on Coronado, and just so much of the community is involved within the military, as is all of San Diego. But for Coronado, it kind of has a special little heart and soul for the military on the island. And that weekend also just happens to coincide with the path to the Oscars. So for a film festival, it really falls in a sweet spot to grab a lot of significant feature films that are coming out and that will be, contenders for the Oscars. So it really plays well for both for a film festival.
Yeah, and so talk to us about the components of a film festival, because there are so many filmmakers that work really hard to get their films seen. And how does that process work? How do they get their films to be part of the festival when they're not one of the big studios?
So it's really interesting how the industry is constantly changing and evolving. And it used to be that if you were an independent filmmaker, that they submit their film. There's different ways by which they can submit their film and to the film festival. And it used to be very traditional, and we still are very traditional. We have screeners. We have a group of screeners. They're volunteers. They're passionate about film. They love to watch film. And it's a good thing, because you really have to – it sounds fun, but you really have to slog through a lot of good films, bad films, everything in between. And it's a very – they take it seriously, as they should, and they watch these films in various categories. And there's a rating system, and then we kind of take the top score, and we really kind of work with that and whittle it all down, and then we have this incredible block of programming from independent filmmakers. Now, that's the independent side. With the feature films, we're constantly throughout the year in contact with some major studios. The one component that's interesting now is you have streaming, and we have digital media. And so a lot of filmmakers now have access to, if they're producers and filmmakers, they can start to fund their film in different ways. They don't need a major producer. They can start a GoFundMe account. They can do a Kickstarter, and they can put a trailer up there and get producers. So the industry, by and large, digital media has really changed how filmmakers can approach the industry and how they can get their mm-hmm. digital content out there. And live, the streaming, Amazon, Apple TV, Disney launching their streaming. MailChimp now has just launched a streaming. So there's so many different disruptors in the film industry now that allow for content to get out there. So it's interesting, but what makes the film festival unique and why we need a film festival is that it's the interaction and the immersiveness that a filmmaker has with the audience. They get to see their film, first of all, up on the big screen, which if I was a filmmaker, that would be a dream come true. Secondly, mm-hmm. you have the audience, and you get to see their reaction in real time. Did they laugh when they were supposed to laugh? Did they cry when they were supposed to cry? Or did they laugh when it was serious? And that you just, that's not what's supposed to happen. And so, you get this feedback instantaneously and this gratification instantaneously. And really for a filmmaker, and that's their craft, and these films are their babies. And to be able to have, to see it in the element in which it's intended is really an amazing thing. And our filmmakers have loved it. The audience loves it. It just creates a full, very well-rounded experience for the festival.
And these festivals, I mean, most people know of the big ones. They've heard of the big festivals. And then they've got their own film festivals in their own communities. Mm-hmm. But it's not an easy thing to pull off, I can't imagine, because it's multiple days, right?
Right. It's not. There are so many moving pieces to a festival. It's amazing. And, we have a phenomenal team but they're, you know, and everybody kind of works together. So one, yes, you're throwing this multi-day, multi-event festival that really, you know, we have 90 plus films that range from features to shorts, from student films to studio films. So you've got all of the people that are involved, you know, on that end. And then you really have all the other, you know, components to make it an incredible experience for everybody. You know, and talking about reputation, you know, a festival really is as good as the programming that you screen and how people feel about, you know, their full experience there. You know, did they stand in line too long? Did they, you know, did they feel awesome when they walked out of the theater? Was the programming what it needed to be? And was it diverse enough? Was the content what people want to see? You know, you need to know your audience. One of the things that Coronado has done extremely well is to celebrate the excellence in the industry. And you build your reputation as a film festival on the festival circuit, not only on, you know, your programming, but what makes your festival unique. I believe there's last count, over 30 film festivals in San Diego alone. So to pull ourselves out of that and say what defines us, what determines our film festival and how do we build that, that's one of the things that we think about all the time. One thing that we've done that we've built a wonderful foundation on is music. We celebrate music, and everyone knows that there's a great soundtrack and the power of music in film, and this year we're honoring Diane Warren, who I would say is probably the most prolific songwriter out there. She's a 10-time nominated Oscar nominee, and just unbelievable. I mean, if you name an artist, they have probably sang one of her songs, from Celine Dion to Beyonce to Mariah Carey.
Yeah, incredible career.
Incredible. I'm so excited to honor her this year. We have Michelle Phillips, who is getting our Cultural Impact Award from Mamas and the Papas, and starred in film, television. Just some exciting things. Last year, we celebrated Chris Bowers, composer of Green Book. And, of course, Green Book went on to win the Oscar, and that was our opening night. So there's these exciting things. And it's, you know, but I look at the festival as a culmination of the hard work and the relationships that are built all year. And, you know, we're not a one-off event. These are things that happen throughout the year, that these relationships and these connections to the industry are really what give you the four-day festival, you know, the success of the four-day festival, and really help elevate it to the level that it's needed to kind of stand out, not only with the industry, but everyone attending. So it's exciting.
Yeah, the community. And we have listeners to this podcast all over the U.S. and internationally. So I know you've mentioned San Diego, and for those who don't know, Coronado Island is, as it sounds, right off the coast of the Southern California town, city, and you get there by bridge, a beautiful bridge. And so it really is a destination festival.
Mm-hmm. It is. And most people know it because of the Hotel Del Coronado, which has been there over 100 years. And so it's, you know, if I say Coronado, most people go, oh, yeah, the hotel. So there is more.
That's famous for film, too, right? The Hotel Del.
Absolutely. So what is so ironic about Coronado is that, and I didn't know this, and I grew up in San Diego and been going to Coronado for my whole life, but until I really took on this position, I was astounded at really, truly 100 years of filmmaking. As Hollywood was growing, those filmmakers were coming to Coronado to film. And one of the most iconic films that we show, and it's become our closing night tradition, is Some Like It Hot with Chris Lemon, Marilyn Monroe, and Tony Curtis. And it is, we screen it on the beach. It's our closing night. We have other closing night films, but that's our tradition, and people love it. You're sitting on the beach. You're watching a film literally on the spot where it was filmed 60 years ago this year. So it's really exciting. And from Charlie Chaplin all the way I think this year, one of the things we do is we lay out our own little avenue of stars for the film festival. And this year we had over 200 stars that we're going to be putting down the main boulevard of Coronado. And that represents everybody, and not everybody. I mean, that's just a, you know, snapshot, 200 of all the celebrities and actors and people tied into the industry, makeup artists, composers, editors, producers, that have been tied to the film industry. So it was almost primed for a festival.
That's really fun.
Yeah, it is. It's I call it 6 degrees of Hollywood. It's an incredible community. It's a community that celebrates the arts and, you know, civic life and art in the civic life. So it's a really special place to be and very, very deserving of a film festival.
Well, I want our listeners to be able to learn from what you've learned in building these type of events. And do you have advice for others that are developing entertainment-related events or any tips you want to leave people with?
Wow.
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost a where to start. It's very... Again, I think when you're dealing with entertainment and you're dealing with creative people, you really have to be operating in that left and right brain because you're dealing with the creative side, but you have to still be very business minded or nothing will get done. So you're dealing with personalities and talent, and it requires a lot of patience. And, you know, as I said earlier, you really do need to step back and understand sort of the personalities of those that you're, you know, of what you're trying to create. And I think just with any business, whether it's entertainment or not, and in this area, have a strategy. I mean, know at the end of the day what it is that you want to create and then start filling in the blanks and really partnering with people who share that same vision and passion that you have. And that can make the vision come alive. And I think that's true with any business, that you really need to surround yourself with people who know what they're doing, know more about what they're doing. If there's an area that you may not know, you know, you always want to hire up, right? So at least I do. I always want to hire up and bring in people who can bring to the table something that I can't and bring a talent and bring a level of expertise that I may not have. And then, you know, you're building a very strong team. And, you know, again, you get a lot of dynamic personalities, a lot of type A in the entertainment industry because they're creative, but they also know what they're doing and they know what they want. So it's a lot of peacekeeping. It's a lot of compromise. It's a lot of understanding how all of the elements come together to really, you know, just create something spectacular. But it does require really, though, starting off with a vision, but the flexibility to sort of leave room for a lot of change and excitement. Don't make it so tight that you can't flip the corner if a great opportunity comes or a great artist comes along or a great film comes along. And, you know, you want to be able to take advantage of that. But, yeah, tips for starting in this. have a lot of patience.
Yeah.
So.
You've left us with a lot of really good advice. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I know people are going to want to get in touch with you. And if our listeners do want to contact you or if they have any other questions, how would they do that? What's the best way to contact you?
So the best way, I would first drive everyone to our website just to get to know our festival and more about our foundation. We are a nonprofit organization that puts this on, and there's a lot of other aspects to you know, to our organization, but it's CoronadoIslandFilmFestival.com. And then in terms of just reaching out directly via email, it would be info@CoronadoIslandFilmFestival.com. And we have a team, pretty easy to get a hold of. But yeah, I would encourage everyone to come. We love people to come visit our island, and the film festival lineup is fantastic. So
it sounds heavenly. So If you didn't catch those contact details, we are going to have that information listed in our show notes. And that is our show for today. I want to say big thank you to Mira D for being our leading lady. Thank you, Mira D.
Thank you. This was wonderful, Eileen. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, sure. And a special thanks to all our listeners. As I said, we have listeners in the U.S. and internationally. And we will be back again for another Women Lead Radio show, Mondays at 9, Fridays at 2 Pacific Time. And it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. And remember, your reputation is our business.